Chapter 6, The Supreme Divinity. This is the human form in which every divine entity, every divine principle, that is say, all the names and forms ascribed by man to God are manifest. You are very fortunate that you have a chance to experience the bliss of the vision of the Sarva Devata Swarupa now in this very life. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba. Baba transcends every other god. The great Rishi Garga was a learned scholar of astronomy. He was also the holy priest to the Yadava dynasty. He was the author of a Sanskrit treatise called Garga Samhita. At the commencement of that work, he described the qualities and nature of a full and complete incarnation, Purna Avatar. Yasmin Sarvani Tejamsi Vilinayam Te Swate Jasi Tam Vadanti Pare Sakshat Paripurnatamam Swayam. That incarnation of the Supreme, which encompasses within itself the divine glory of all the gods, is the full and complete incarnation. Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba satisfies this description in all respects. Pedda Bottu, ardent devotee of both Shirdi Sai and Satya Sai, wrote a book called Sri Satya Sai Vrata Kalpam, which describes the procedure of ritualistic worship of Bhagwan. She kept the finished manuscript safely in her box. When she opened the book one day, she found that numerous modifications and alterations had been made in it in red ink. They were all in the unmistakable hand of Bhagwan himself. Wherever she had used the words Sarva Devata Swarupa while referring to Swami, meaning the embodied form of all gods, they were altered to read Sarva Devata Atita Swarupa, meaning the form that transcends all gods. Centuries ago, when the Telugu saint composer Potana was translating the epic Sri Mahabhagavatam from Sanskrit to Telugu, Lord Sri Rama himself, it is said, contributed to his text. In the same way, Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai Baba amplified Pedda Bottu's text in his own hand. Thereby, he proclaimed to the world in writing that he transcends every god. To cite his own words, "This, my human form, embodies all dharmas, faiths, and divine powers, shaktis, of all gods. Never doubt this at all. If you install this divine form of mine on the throne of your heart with unshakable faith, you will be able to have a glimpse of my pristine universal form. I will prove that every form, every attribute which man cherishes and worships as pertaining only to God, belongs to the form of Sai only." As Sri Mahaganapati, Swami Amritananda, disciple of the celebrated saint of Arunachalam, namely Sri Ramana Maharishi, travelled from Arunachalam to Puttaparthi for Bhagwan Sri Sai's darshan. Bhagwan drew close to him and in a sweet voice addressed him, "Amritam." Swami Amritananda was thrilled. The great saint Ramana used to address him in identical manner, with the same affection and touch of intimacy. Sai Baba's call, he felt, was a leela with special significance. During conversation with the 85-year-old Amritananda, Swami told him, "In your 7th year, you performed Ganapati Homam continuously for 45 days. As you made offerings in the Homa Gundam, you recited a sacred mantra containing Bija Aksharas, Om, Sreem, Hreem, clean and glean at the rate of 1,000 times every day. Are you aware what scriptures say about the beneficial result of that yaga? It is said that if a devotee performs it on the prescribed lines, at the conclusion thereof, the elephant-headed Lord Mahaganapati emerges out of the Homa Gundam, resplendent in his golden complexion, and gives divine darshan and blessings to the devotee. Did you ever have such a darshan? Amritananda replied, I was then only a boy of 7 years. Could the divine darshan of Mahaganapati be obtained merely through offerings in the Homa Gundam? Sri Sai Baba assured him, it is only because of the result of that recitation of mantra and offerings then made that you have come into my presence now at this advanced age. You shall receive the benefit of that homam right now. Scriptures never go wrong. Amritananda was asked to look towards Swami, and as he did so, he saw in the place of Bhagwan Mahaganapati's glorious form with marvelous complexion. As Sri Subramanya Swami, Lord Subramanya Swami was the family deity of the Bhatt family of Mysore. In 1943, Mrs. Bhatt was diagnosed to be suffering from cancer. Doctors advised a surgical operation, but her mother-in-law did not agree. She insisted that as they were all ardent devotees of Lord Subramanya, the Lord would surely take care of the patient. For 6 long months, the family stuck to their intense and steady faith and continued with their daily worship. But the patient's condition was worsening. One night, she had a dream in which she saw a great serpent moving around her bed. Alarmed, she woke up her mother-in-law. Lights were switched on, but found nothing. But after some time, the patient again dreamt of the same serpent, which in a moment changed to Lord Subramanya. He pierced her chest with his trident. Thus impaled, she was taken to the top of a mountain peak. She fell at the feet of the Lord, who asked her whether she wished to remain there or to return to her family. She replied that she would prefer to go back to her husband and children. The Lord then told her, "You are fully healed. I will always be protecting you." She saw herself being returned to this world by a narrow, beautiful stairway. The dream was vivid and reassuring. From that day onwards, her health steadily improved and soon became normal. Even while she unfailingly did her daily worship, she found time also to serve the poor and the needy to the best of her ability. 20 years later, the lady and her husband went to Puttaparthi and had the darshan of Sri Sathya Sai for the first time. Swami gave them interview. He told her, "I spoke to you once 20 years ago." She was taken aback and protested, "No, Swami, this is the first time I'm seeing you." But Swami told her, "No, I came to you when you were in Mysore." He also mentioned the name of the street where they were staying in Mysore during her illness. She wondered. The name of the street was of course correct. But when did Swami come there? When did he speak to her? She had no recollection. Then she noticed the staircase leading from the interview room to Swami's room, located on the upper floor. She counted the steps. They were 18 in number. They were narrow and beautiful. When did she see them before? She suddenly remembered to have seen them in her dream 2 decades ago. They were the same steps down which Lord Subramanya had returned her to this world. In a moment, before she could recover from her wonderment, Swami waved his hand and materialized a beautiful figure of Lord Subramanya Swami, adorned with ornaments of serpents and seated on a chariot. He placed that image in her grateful hands. She realized that the ever-merciful Sai Baba was the same as Lord Subramanya Swami, who was worshipped at their home every day. She washed Baba's lotus feet with her copious tears of exquisite happiness. Lord Subramanya Swami stands today by the side of his elder brother Mahaganapati in Prashanti Nilayam. His idol was installed there by Bhagavan Sri Sathya Sai Baba on 21st September 1997. As Lord Paramashiva, Ramaraju, the then municipal chairman of Bellari district, came to Uruvakonda to meet Satyam. In those days, Satyam was also called Raju. Ramaraju told Seshamaraju, "We would like to have your Raju with us in Bellari during the next school vacation. You think your brother is just an ordinary boy. You are wrong. My heart is moved by his purity and the glow in his face. I can see a divine effulgence in him. Please bring him along and stay with us for some days." Those were the days when Seshamaraju was somewhat worried about his brother's unusual behavior. He felt that change of place might help to improve Satyam's mental health. He accepted Ramaraju's invitation and went to Bellari. One day he organized a trip to Hampi to see the famous temple of Lord Virupaksha. All of them went into the temple, but Satyam stayed out, pleading some discomfort in his stomach, while the others entered it. When the temple priest was offering arati to the presiding deity, the devotees saw the image of Satyam in the sanctum sanctorum in place of the deity of Lord Virupaksha. Seshamaraju was angry. He thought, Satyam told that he would not enter the temple, but he has somehow sneaked in and taken the place of the Lord. This is blasphemous. He went out in anger, only to see Satyam standing there under a tree. Seshamaraju was puzzled. While he stood outside keeping an eye on Satyam, he deputed another person to go inside and verify things there. He was surprised when he was told that Satyam was seen very much within the temple, even as he stood under the tree outside. As the saying goes, Antara Bahishcha Tat Sarvam Vyapa Narayana Sthitaha. Lord Narayana is all pervasive, present both inside and outside, everywhere at the same time. Everyone in the group realized that this Satyanarayana too was all pervasive, present everywhere at the same time, both inside and outside the temple. It is also noteworthy that by that time, Bhagwan had not yet proclaimed his avatarhood. The group came out of the temple in great exultation and looked at Satyam's face. But they noticed nothing unusual in that face, as if nothing extraordinary had happened. It is well known that Swami is the creator of Vibhuti. He is seen every day materializing large quantities of it and distributing it among devotees. During festivities of Shivaratri, Baba used to perform Abhishekam on Shirdi Baba's image, using, instead of water, Vibhuti emanating out of an empty silver vessel. The Vibhuti would never run out. A particular occasion deserves to be described. In the open ground close to Prashanti Mandir, in the center of a dais called Shanti Vedika, a raised pedestal was set up. A 4 feet high silver idol of Shirdi Chai was positioned on the pedestal. Sri Kasturi stood on one side of the idol and held an empty silver vessel upside down, a little above the idol's head. On the other side stood Bhagwan Sri Sathya Sai and inserted his right hand into the mouth of the inverted vessel and began to rotate his hand inside the vessel in a churning motion. Vibhuti poured out in huge quantities at every turn of the divine hand. It fell over the idol as a deluge. After a little while, Sri Sai Baba removed his right hand, inserted his left hand and brought forth downpour of Vibhuti as he rotated his hand inside the vessel. He took turns now with the right hand and then with the left one. The idol was soon covered fully with the vibhuti. Devotees went into raptures of joy and incessant clapping. Then Sri Sathya Sai wiped the head and face of Shirdi Sai with a piece of cloth. He materialized with a wave of his hand an emerald and placed it on the forehead of the idol. It stuck there. It was a breathtaking miracle. We have only to immerse ourselves in the glorious sight of such miracles, forget ourselves, and become one with the divinity that we are blessed to witness. On that Shivaratri day, devotees saw Shivalingam materializing in Baba's stomach and emerging out of his mouth. Sri Sathya Sai was giving his nectarine discourse and devotees were in rapt attention. Suddenly, Baba stopped speaking and sat down. Devotees started singing bhajan songs loudly.
Hari Om Namah Shivaya.
Sri Sai was sweating. He was frequently sipping water from a glass tumbler placed on his table. Some movements were noticed near his stomach. He was twisting and turning as if in pain. Singing of bhajans continued with greater and greater enthusiasm.
Shiva Shiva Shankara Hara Parameshwara Sai Shwaraya Namo.
The Atmalingam began to move upwards from his stomach, reached the throat, and suddenly emerged out of the mouth. Baba held the brilliant lingam in his open palms, held together, and held it up so that the thousands of devotees assembled there could see it. As the large lingam emerged out of the mouth, the corners of his mouth split, and there were stains of blood. Bhagwan addressed the audience and explained the significance of the materialization of the lingam. You cannot comprehend the full nature of divinity, nor can you measure divine power, shakti, and its glory. It is unreachable and unseen. This incident of the materialization of lingam is a demonstration brought within the limited scope of your comprehension of that divinity which is present here, right in your midst. You are privileged to witness this marvelous spectacle because of divine grace and your good fortune. In February 1974, on the occasion of Shivaratri, Bhagwan materialized a lingam from his mouth and made a sensational pronouncement. Addressing the devotees, he said, "This is the Atmalingam of 10 inches, Dasha Angulam, as described by sage Kapila Deva in the Vedas and the Upanishads. Your lives have attained fulfillment because you have seen this divine form. You are released from the cycle of universal birth and death. This lingam measures 10 inches around. You see a trident within the lingam in the form of a flame, which changes its color every 10 minutes. After many long years, Bhagavan again materialized a Shivalingam named Hiranyagarbhalingam on the auspicious day of Shivaratri in 1999. Again, on the day of Shivaratri in the following year, Bhagavan Sathya Sai materialized from his mouth a golden Shivalingam, Swarnalingam, and showed it to the thousands of devotees assembled in the Sai Kulwant Hall, who went into raptures with joy. They felt that they were immensely blessed by the Lord. As Lord Sri Rama. In 1972, training classes in summer were about to commence at Vrindavan. 800 persons, boys and girls, selected from various regions of the country, assembled at Whitefield. Swami's mother, Ishwaramma, obtained his permission to join other women devotees at Vrindavan for the 30 days of training. she was given accommodation on the floor below that of Swami. The trainees woke up daily in the early hours. They went through the incantation of Omkar, Pranavam, devotional songs, yogasanas, bhajans, service to the poor, and other activities. The participants were very enthusiastic and lively. For Ishwaramma, it was all like a festive occasion every day in the temple of Goddess Saraswati, the goddess of learning. On the 11th day of the training camp, Ishwaramma experienced a thrilling experience. The next morning, she rushed to Pedda Bottu, who was well known also as Shirdi Ma. She was all excitement as she told Pedda Bottu, "I must inform you about a wonderful experience I had, but promise me that you would never tell anybody about it." Pedda Bottu moved closer to her and confidentially inquired what it was all about. Said Ishwaramma, "Our Swami is truly God Himself. I have no doubt whatsoever." Pedda Bottu burst out laughing. Ishwaramma asked what was so funny in what she said. Pedda Bottu reassured her, "No, no, I am not laughing at your words. I am only expressing my joy that this fact has come to your knowledge at long last. But leave that alone. Tell me how you have come to this realization." Ishwaramma said, "You know, I am having high fever for the last 4 days. Last night Swami came to me." Pedda Bottu interrupted, "Was it in a dream?" "No," said Ishwaramma. "I was not able to sleep and was uncomfortably rolling this side and that in bed. Swami came to me in person and inquired how I was feeling. I told him that my body was aching all over." "Then how should I tell you, Pedda Bottu? He is not our usual Swami whom you and I see every day. In a moment, he became Lord Sri Rama with a dazzling crown on his head and a long bow in his hand. He stood by my side. I was surprised but saluted him. I also tried hard to get up and sit on the bed, even to get out of it, but could not do so. In a few moments, Lord Sri Rama became our familiar Swami. He smiled gently and gave me a little Vibhuti Prasadam. He said, 'Fever will disappear. Don't worry,' and left." Pedda Bottu was happy and elated. She said, "Swami has certainly blessed you. What a memorable experience." Ishwaramma was in full wakefulness and consciousness when she saw Sri Satya Sai as Lord Sri Rama. She is indeed exceptionally fortunate and blessed. As subsequent events indicate, that divine experience she had was probably a pointer to the approaching merger of Ishwaramma's soul with the Supreme Being. The very next day, 6th May 1972, at 6 a.m., trainees just returned after completing Nagara Sankirtan. Swami gave them darshan from the balcony of his residence and went in to have a bath. Meanwhile, Ishwaramma had her bath, took her morning cup of coffee, and sat in the inner veranda to relax. Suddenly, she turned towards the bathroom and cried out for Swami. "Swami! Swami!" she called and collapsed. Swami responded from inside the bathroom, "I'm coming! I'm coming!" That was all. She breathed her last. On 6th May 1983, Swami spoke on the occasion of the death anniversary of Ishwaramma. Referring to the special characteristics which distinguished the great lady and the manner of her death, he said, "Usually at such moments, one's mind dwells on ornaments of gold or similar valuables. It is only to very few persons that Swami comes to mind at the final moment. From the floor down below, she cried out for me, 'Swami, Swami!' I responded, 'I'm coming, I'm coming.' And she left." The situation is just like Mahavishnu rushing to bless Gajendra in response to his desperate call for divine succor. As the two live wires met like a flash in a moment, one attained salvation. At the crucial moment, Ishwaramma's daughter and granddaughter, Venkamma and Shailaja, were by her side. But she desperately cried out only for Swami. This is an ample proof of her piety and righteousness, the priceless reward for her great sadhana. Here is an excellent example for emulation. As Sri Shyam Sundar, Swami Karunyananda spent several years with Ramana Maharishi in Arunachalam. For some years he was also with Malayala Swami in Gokharpam near Tirupati. In 1927, he was ordained into sannyas by Shivananda Swami in Rishikesh. He practiced many spiritual austerities. Later, he established the Gautami Jiva Karunya Sangam in Rajamandri on the banks of the river Godavari in Andhra Pradesh and did great service to the poor and the needy. As a result of his spiritual attainments and his services to humanity, he was rewarded with the good fortune of remaining in close proximity to Sri Satyasai. Once, Sri Satyasai Baba asked Karunyananda to come and sleep in his room. But being in the unfortunate habit of snoring, he hesitated to accept Baba's invitation. Swami told him not to worry about it, but to come and sleep in his room. Karunyananda has since stated, "Bhagwan Sri Satyasai never sleeps. He lies in bed on his left side. His eyes are always half open. He is fully aware of what is happening all around him." Bhagwan vouchsafed Karunyananda an unforgettable experience that night. Swami was lying on his bed. Karunyananda spread his bed on the floor and slept. After some time, he woke up and sat and looked towards Swami's bed. Surprisingly, in place of Swami, he found Balakrishna, Krishna the child, lying in Swami's bed, emanating a charming bluish glow. Karunyananda lapped up the wonderful vision in astonishment. Unbelieving, he rubbed his eyes and again looked carefully. He also assured himself that he was wide awake and fully in possession of his senses. There was no question of any doubt. It certainly was Balakrishna lying on Baba's bed. After a few moments, once again Baba was seen lying there in place of Balakrishna. Karunyananda stated later, "What I witnessed was certainly not imagination. I was fully awake. It was Balakrishna most certainly. I also witnessed Balakrishna changing into Sri Satyasai." Bhagwan Satyasai does not publicly display his divinity. Perhaps he feels that such displays might lead to unmanageable crowds converging on him from far and wide. In Sai Shruti, Swami's residence in Kodaikanal, Swami spoke to his students once and revealed a divine secret. He said, "Lord Sriman Narayana has come down to this earth in human form as Satyasai. Please understand and accept this fact. Like Lord Sri Rama's and Lord Sri Krishna's, this too is a Purna avatar. Great sages and spiritual preceptors were sent here from time to time by the Divya Shakti. But here you see the very incarnation of the universal absolute on earth." As Gautama Buddha, once a conference of scientists took place in Hyderabad in Andhra Pradesh under the chairmanship of Dr. Balakrishna. Professor Haikawa, a Japanese scientist, was among them. Dr. Balakrishna invited him to his home. There, Dr. Haikawa saw for the first time a colored photograph of Bhagwan Sri Satyasai Baba. He felt immediately drawn to it. In the temple-like house, this attractive photograph stood out in all its decorations. He thought that the picture might be of an honored ancestor of the family. During their conversation, Dr. Balakrishna described the divinity of Bhagavan Sri Sathya Sai Baba and told him that Baba was God incarnate. It so happened that Swami was right there in Hyderabad at that time, and the two scientists went to have his darshan. Swami kindly invited both of them into the interview room. In the proximity of Swami, Professor Haikawa experienced an intense awareness that he was in the presence of a divine personality. Swami gently smiled at him, waved his hand, produced a human heart and showed it to him. He was bewildered. Bhagwan asked him what it was. Dr. Haikawa replied that it was a human heart. "Do you know to whom it belonged?" asked Swami. Haikawa replied, "How do I know?" Bhagwan told him, "This is your own heart at the time of your birth." Dr. Haikawa was stunned. Swami explained, "This is indeed your own heart. Do not be surprised. As soon as you were born, your heart stopped beating. You were as good as dead. Your body turned blue. Your father was a man of faith and a very devout person. He placed your body at my feet and prayed to me. Oh God, I earnestly prayed to you for a child. Is this the way you respond to my prayers? Of what use is this dead body to me? I therefore mended your heart and restored you to life." As a matter of fact, the age of the Japanese scientist was more than Baba's. And it was to Lord Buddha that his father had prayed, seeking revival of life in his dead son's body. The secret of that incident was known to no one except his parents. Dr. Haikawa realized that Lord Buddha, who had lived many centuries ago, had now reincarnated in the form of Sai Bhagwan. During the conversation, Swami referred it in lighter vein to Dr. Haikawa as Avakaya, which in Telugu means mango pickle. As Jesus Christ, a Roman Catholic couple of America happened to hear about Bhagwan and came down to Puttaparthi. During public audience in Prashanti Nilayam, they saw the glorious form of Sri Sathya Sai. They felt powerful spiritual waves being radiated to them. They were surprised and delighted as they experienced intense glow of happiness. The man was overwhelmed by Baba's eyes, full of kindness and heart replete with love. He was convinced that Jesus himself had come to earth in Sai's form and told his wife as much. The woman did not, however, react favorably. "What nonsense," she said. "We are Roman Catholics. It is not proper for you to say that this Hindu is Jesus himself. I do not agree with you at all on this." She remained somewhat aloof from Sri Sathya Sai. One day, Swami invited the couple into the interview room. The man was undoubtedly in great exhilaration. His wife was somewhat cold and sat a little aside. As the interview drew to a close, the man asked Swami politely, "Swami, may I take a photograph?" Swami agreed, and the gentleman took a few snaps with his camera. The film was developed and printed on their return home. What they saw was not Sathya Sai, but the loving and compassionate figure of Jesus Christ. They were astonished. The woman felt extremely sorry that she could not recognize Jesus Christ when physically present in front of her in the form of Sri Sathya Sai. Needless to say, she became Swami's devotee from that moment. A devotee asked Swami, "Jesus promised to come back again. Are you that Jesus?" Swami explained to him, Jesus did not say that he would come back. What he actually said was that God who had sent him to earth himself would come. He pointed to a sheep. The cry of a sheep sounds ba ba. Jesus indicated that God would come to earth with that name. But his followers did not correctly comprehend what he had stated. It is I who sent Jesus to the earth. The Kaaba in Baba's palm. When Professor S. Bashiruddin, a Muslim, visited Sri Sai Baba, Bhagwan materialized and presented to him a locket on which was inscribed Allah in Arabic. Allah in Arabic, Sarvantaryami in Sanskrit, and Omnipresent in English, they all mean the same. Once, some Arabic visitors met Sri Sai Baba in Prashanti Nilayam. It was the sacred day of Bakrid. Swami invited them into the interview room. He raised his open palm. The visitors saw in it a vision of thousands of devout Muslims praying on their knees before the holy Kaaba in Saudi Arabia at that very moment. These are some of the instances to establish that Sri Sathya Sai is not only the embodiment of all gods, he is the transcendental encapsulation of every god. Many persons belonging to the Jewish faith testify to this fact, like Dr. Samuel Sandways, who declared, "I am convinced that Baba is the incarnation of God. Whatever descriptions about God are given in the Hindu, Christian and Jewish lore and literature are not fictional or imaginary. They are all true. They all proclaim the truth that God has the supreme power to incarnate himself as and when needed." As Sri Dattatreya. On the Shivaratri day in 1978, Sai Baba was traveling by car from Ooty to Bangalore. Several devotees and students were accompanying him in cars. Srimati Ratanlal Bhatia, who cooked Baba's meals every day in Bangalore, was also among them. Sri Sathya Sai stopped the caravan at some place and got down from his car. All of them sat down to rest and relax, and Baba began to speak to the gathering about some spiritual matters. He addressed a student who he knew was still harboring doubts and misgivings about Baba. "You are still troubled by doubts about me, is it not? You are holding a Polaroid camera. Take my photograph and you will see my true identity." Baba stood at a particular spot. The student took his position with the camera and was about to take a snap. Suddenly, Srimati Bhatia rushed forward and tried to straighten the creases on Baba's garment. Swami sternly ordered her to go away. As he spoke somewhat curtly and loudly, the poor lady was frightened, turned back and stood at a distance. The student clicked his camera. In a few moments, the Polaroid picture developed in sharp colors. It was of the divine composite form of Lord Dattatreya with three heads, Lord Brahma, Lord Mahavishnu and Lord Maheshwara. The photo also showed four dogs and a cow standing by the side of the Lord. When the picture was shown to Swami, he told Srimati Bhatia, "Do you now realize why I firmly ordered you to go away at the moment this photograph was being taken? Extremely powerful radiations were emanating from me at that time. You would not have been able to withstand their impact." Sathya Sai is the supreme being, the primordial source of the cycles of creation, srishti, maintenance, sthiti, and ultimate annihilation, layam. This truth has been demonstrated by Sathya Sai through this incident when he revealed himself to be the transcendental divinity, combining within himself Lord Brahma, Mahavishnu and Lord Maheshwara, the great Trinity. My human form encompasses divine Shaktis of all gods. Sri Satya Sai Baba once declared, "As I am moving among you, eating like you, and conversing with you, you may mistake me as a common human being. If you commit that error, you will get into trouble and get enmeshed in delusion. You must always be vigilant and avoid that danger. The web of Maya, delusion, is my concomitant. So, I may sing along with you, speak with you, participate together with you in all activities, and thereby create in you that Maya. But at any moment I may suddenly reveal my divinity. You must keep yourself alert, ever and always, and be ready for that great moment. This, my human form, encompasses every faith, dharma, and every divine potency, shakti, of every god. Whatsoever be the names, forms, and powers that man attributes to God, belong only to Satya Sai and none else. And all prayers and offerings to God reach me only. I can demonstrate it beyond doubt. That is why in all my discourses, I emphasize that Allah, Jesus, Jehovah, Rama, Krishna, Ishwara, and Sai are all names which pertain without any difference whatsoever only to me. When God comes down to earth in human form, it is very difficult to see the reality of God in the outward form. Man compares the earthly external appearance of the avatar with his own body and mistakenly concludes that the two are of the same level and type. To tell you the truth, even if the entire humanity makes concerted effort for 1,000 years through the severest austerities, it cannot comprehend my true essentiality, Nija Tattva. If you win the grace of this divine power standing right before you, bearing a holy name and form, you will soon achieve supreme realization. You are exceptionally fortunate in having this rare opportunity. It is far more precious than what eminent sages, renunciates, yogis, and holy men had ever got. Forget not this fact. Swami pervades the universe. Leela and Homer are a couple living in California. Homer works in the establishment concerned with launching of satellites. In 1972, Leela joined a group led by Indra Devi of Mexico, Swami's devotee, and came to Puttaparthi to meet Sai Baba. Homer desired that Puttaparthi should be photographed from space right at the time his wife was in Baba's presence. Several photographs were taken by a satellite from 200 miles above the earth. Because of the great distance, no clear details of habitations, hills or buildings could be seen in the photographs, which showed only a number of patches and dots in black and white that made no sense. When Leela saw them on return from Puttaparthi, she felt very much disappointed. Being middle-class people, she felt they should not have wasted $60 on these poor pictures. Several years went by. Some Sai devotees on their way to attend the wedding of Indra Devi's daughter visited the Homer's home. He was then running a Sai book center. Several years went by. Some Sai devotees on their way to attend the wedding of Indra Devi's daughter visited the Homer's home. He was then running a Sai book center. There were several photos of Sai in different poses in the center. As the visitors showed interest and liked some of them, Homer showed them the satellite pictures of Puttaparthi too. The visitors were closely looking at those photographs. Suddenly a lady cried out, "Here is Sai Baba." curiosity aroused, each of them examined the photo minutely. Surprisingly, they could all discern the face in profile of Sri Satya Sai, composed by the numerous patches and dots which had earlier made no sense to Homer and Leela. The image was now crystal clear. The crown-like thick black hair on the head, the eyes, the shape of the nose, and wonder of wonders, even the birthmark on the cheek, the enchanting face of Swami could be clearly seen. Homer made his own calculations. He took into account longitude and latitude and found that the photograph covered a vast area, 40 miles long and 20 miles wide. He realized with considerable astonishment that Swami's form filled so much area. From the data available, Homer concluded that Swami was looking at an extensive area surrounding Prashanti Nilayam. In 1978, Homer came to Puttaparthi to meet Bhagwan Sri Satya Sai. He saw a great circular aura around Swami's head. He took several photographs and showed them to Swami. Bhagwan smiled sweetly and said, "As Lord Sri Krishna told Arjuna, these are trifles in my boundless divine magnificence." Neti Neti. There is a Sanskrit saying, "Yato vacho nivartante aprapya manam saha anandam brahmano vidvan na bibheti kritascha neti." The universal absolute is beyond the comprehension of the five senses as well as mind. Only an ardent devotee can realize the incomprehensible universal supreme reality and achieve transcendental bliss. He is then above, beyond every kind of fear, and enjoys the state of perpetual bliss. This highly spiritual concept was clarified by Bhagwan Baba with a simple and amusing anecdote drawn from Ramayana. Sita, Rama and Lakshmana reached the ashram of Rishi Bharadwaja. According to the prevalent practice, the rishis sat in one group and their wives and other women sat in another group. They did not sit in a mixed gathering as we do these days. On reaching there, Sita took her seat among the women and Rama and Lakshmana sat with the rishis. The two brothers Rama and Lakshmana were wearing clothes of renunciates. Due to that, and also because of their radiance, both the princes were looking as splendid as the rishis themselves. It was impossible to recognize and identify who was Rama and who was Lakshmana. But Sita had not changed much, and wives of rishis could immediately recognize her. They drew close to her and affectionately engaged her in conversation in easy informality. Women by nature tend to be inquisitive and talkative. On the other side, rishis were busy with their metaphysical discourses. Here, women were busy with their whispered conversation. They asked Sita, "Dear Sita Devi, has your husband also come?" She replied, "Yes, I have come along with him. He is sitting there with the rishis." The women then asked, "Of those two sitting there, who is your husband?" Would Sita stand up in that entire gathering and point out her husband? She was very modest and noble, and also a dedicated wife, Pativrata. Unable to give an outright reply, she silently sat with her head bowed. But the ladies would not leave it there. They went on asking queries like, "Is he that person sitting a little behind or a little ahead? Or is he the person wearing beautiful robes? Is he that fair-complexioned man?" They went on showing this person or that with one description or another. But Sita was very patient. Whenever a person other than her husband was pointed at, she shook her head to indicate, "No, no." She went on shaking her head in denial until when Rama's turn came. She became silent and modestly bowed her head. Her gesture itself signified her confirmation that the person pointed at was indeed Lord Sri Rama. In the same manner, the Vedas went on repeating, Neti, Neti, Neti. Not this, not this, not this, while trying to describe the inner essentiality of the universal absolute, Parabrahma Tattva. When the Vedas were to finally describe that universal absolute, they became mute, wordless. That is why it was referred to as Mauna Vakya Prakatita Parabrahma Tattva. The essentiality of the universal absolute, which can be described only by wordlessness, perfect silence. What a charming anecdote Bhagavan has chosen, and how beautiful was his exposition. In simple words, and by a sweet and enchanting anecdote, Baba unraveled the meaning of the Vedic words, Neti Neti. He also explained their spiritual significance. Ordinarily, these words are superficially and literally explained as not this, not this, but there is another and more subtle way of interpreting them. The Supreme Being is universally pervasive. It is boundless in magnitude, and infinite are the variation it displays. It is immutable and it is indestructible. So, when the nature of that Parabrahma is considered, and in that context, Neti is used, we should understand the word as not only this, not merely this, but there is a lot more to it. If in this manner we look for the deeper meaning of the word Neti, its scope becomes vast and vast and profound. The entire universe comprising moving, chara, and non-moving, achara entities is suffused with that universal being, Parabrahma. It is omnipresent. That is, there is no place or point or time in the universe where that universal being does not exist. Therefore, when we try to identify that supreme reality by looking at a particular object, this and that and that, and question ourselves, is it this? Is it this? And so on. The response, not this, not this, does not satisfy us adequately. On the other hand, the answer, not merely this, not merely this, fits more perfectly the universal reality we try to describe. When we try to understand the compassion, magnificence, and distinctiveness of Satya Sai Parabrahma, we question ourselves, is it this? We soon realize this is not all. There is much more to it. So, that indeed is the correct answer, the satisfying answer. For the Vedic dictum, Neti Neti, therefore, the correct and fully satisfying answer is not merely this, there is much more to it. The subtle explanation given by Bhagavan Sri Sati Sai will bestow enlightenment on even the enlightened. Our homage to the greatest repository of jnana.